Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Being a Jet fan is hilarious. What did we do in a past life to deserve all of this? We got a lot to get to on a very busy Tuesday in New York City. Evan and Tiki coming up in about an hour. Tiki's not even aware of this. Every single person who calls up this show, including myself, will formally apologize to Tiki Barber.
Why?
Oh, you'll find out. Coming up in about an hour, we'll check in with Connor Hughes. Connor is the one who broke the big news of the day that the New York Jets are firing Joe Douglas. He will join us at 2:45. We'll get to the Giants. Juan Soto potentially going to L.A. There's a lot of stuff to get to. But let's start with our reaction to the news. If you're just tuning in, if you're just waking up, if you just got out of a lunch meeting.
Just wake it up.
Yeah, some people sleep till 2 o'clock.
Man.
That's what Tommy does on the weekends. You are about to find out that the New York Jets decided to fire Joe Douglas. He is now gone as general manager. And you know the moment he truly did get fired wasn't today, November 19th. The moment he got fired, Tiki, was the moment that Woody Johnson usurped him and fired Robert Saleh on his own. He was dead. It was over. It's like someone coming to us and saying, all right, Evan and Tiki, you're still hosting the afternoon show, but we're not going to turn your mics on, okay? Well, then you're not hosting the afternoon show.
You're sitting in your job, but you're not doing anything.
Correct. You're getting a paycheck. And you also know, well, inevitably, they're no longer going to give me a paycheck because they don't want me to do said job. Once Woody Johnson decided to fire Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, Tiki, was dead man walking.
He was, and a lot of people will say it was overdue because of how mediocre the Jets have been, and especially once this season got off to the slow start that it did. Like, this experiment, this grand experiment. First of all, let's back up. You draft and you miss on a franchise quarterback in Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put enough around him, and then you, desperation, go get Aaron Rodgers. He gets hurt right away, 40 years old, 39, inevitable. And then this year, it starts really badly. He was dead man walking after you know, 3 weeks of the season.
Sure.
Because
sure,
this was clearly not going to work.
Look, not winning is going to cause you to lose your job. Joe Douglas was the general manager for 5.5 years. They played 93 games, and they were 30-63. So the reality is you can't survive when your win-loss record is that bad.
No.
But you also can't survive when your owner basically tells you, I'm not going to allow you to decide on this head coach.
And I don't think they consulted with him about it.
No, they didn't. Like, literally, Joe Douglas probably found out about Saleh's firing the way we all did.
Right.
And that's the moment.
Oh, yeah. You know what? By the way, we just fired Saleh.
Yeah. And by the way, There's nothing you could say about it. There's nothing like you could talk me out of it. Now, look, I'm not defending Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas was an abomination. They won 30 games in the 5.5 years he was here. And while he made some really good picks individually and brought in some talent to this roster, you can't miss out on quarterback twice, and he did.
Yep.
First with a high draft pick, second by bringing in Aaron Rodgers, which, yes, it's on his resume. He was a part of said decision. You can't mess up by hiring the wrong coach, which he did with Robert Saleh. You can't mess up by continuously not building the right offensive line and drafting the wrong left tackle like he did with Mekhi Becton. So while you can draft talented players and bring in good football players, if you miss out on the head coach, on the quarterback twice, and the left tackle, and you can't build an offensive line, then you have failed at the most important aspects of your job.
Yep, and it's simple. I mean, it was inevitable. It just, and it makes sense to do this over the bye week because not that Phil Savage, who was the interim now, I guess, general manager.
I had no idea Phil Savage was working with the Jets.
I did not either until you and I went through the list of the front office at the Jets, and I was like, this guy's an intern. This guy has no chance. He's not. And then I see Phil Savage, who, by the way, hasn't been an executive in the NFL in a lot of years.
And he wasn't very good when he did it.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess good luck doing the minutiae that he's going to be asked to do.
It's when you're the general manager for the final few weeks of a deadbeat season, you're basically doing the minor things.
Yeah.
So now maybe you can sign somebody who got released or pick someone up off another practice squad who could turn out to be a gem.
Managing the roster for the next, you know, whatever game.
But he's not the long-term answer.
No, of course not.
But the problem is, so when Joe Douglas gets fired, and I think we all agree 30-63 is unacceptable, and to put that in perspective, his win-loss record was worse than Mike Maccagnan, and dare I say worse than John Idzik. Like, win-loss-wise, not roster building, because, yeah, he brought in some talent. Win-loss-wise, he was the worst general manager in the history of the New York Jets. Like, those are just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the numbers. Like, 30-63 is beyond putrid. So while Garrett Wilson is a gift and Sauce Gardner at times can be a gift, the reality is you need to win games, and you can't survive no matter what kind of talent you bring in when you're 30-63. But I started thinking about his tenure here. I started thinking about the whole story when he was hired to when it ended. And it reminded me of something that has remained so consistent. You can call him Christopher. You can call him Woody. It doesn't matter which brother we're talking about. Ownership has failed us. Because let's not forget when Joe Douglas took over. I'll remind you in case you forgot. He took over in June of a football season. Well, why did he take over in June? Because the delusional New York Jets actually had an entire offseason and an entire draft with Mike Maccagnan and Adam Gase putting together a roster. And then the owner decided to fire Mike Maccagnan, 24-40, record as general manager, slightly better than Joe Douglas, and then hired a new GM. So the Jets were such a mess that back then they hired Joe Douglas, who was very highly considered with his work in Baltimore and his resume in Philadelphia and everything he'd accomplished as a growing executive. They decided to bring him in at the worst and weirdest possible time.
Yeah, it was almost unfair.
It was unfair to him. It was unfair to all of us. And it was a sign that they don't know what they're doing. And so as we sit here all these years later, 5.5 years later, it's a reminder that while we're going to talk about replacements and we're going to blame Joe Douglas for everything that went wrong.
I don't even know who the replacements potentially are.
I made a list already. I went to hard work, man. I already made a list of replacements because, look, we can kill the dead man all we want. You got to look forward. But the problem with looking forward is that no one with a half a brain can trust this ownership. Whether it's Woody or it's Christopher, their track record is so freaking bad that why would anybody think they're going to pick the right guy and turn this franchise around?
No, you're not. Because, well, obviously, whoever gets this job is going to take it knowing that there's a good chance that I'm not making the decisions, that Woody's going to make the decisions.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
When Robert Saleh got fired and Jeff Olbrich was elevated to the interim head coaching position. That wasn't a Joe Douglas situation. So if you're thinking about taking this particular job, you're not really getting the power, are you?
And even if Woody says, oh, no, that was only one time I did that, what makes you believe he's actually going to give you the power? When Joe Douglas took this job and Robert Saleh eventually took the head coaching job, they were told, don't worry, you'll make all the decisions. And for a time, I'm sure that was true, Teague. For a period of time, yeah, they were able to make all those
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Decisions, and then ultimately, look what happened. You had an owner kind of stepping in. So the decision to fire Joe Douglas is two-pronged here. Did he deserve to lose his job? Absolutely. 30-63 is deplorable. The problem is, what sane young or veteran executive with a resume is ever going to want to work for Christopher or Woody Johnson? Based on the resume, based on what you even just said, that you're not going to trust, you're going to be allowed to make these decisions.
Yeah, there's just that's the challenge with this, because you need to hire somebody who has a new look on what the Jets need to do and or what they're going to do. You can't desperately try to replace a failed draft pick at quarterback with an aging X-star or ex-MVP.
Well, hold on. Can I ask you a question about that?
You just can't do that.
Here's a key question that I think is all related to this, all right? Did Joe Douglas decide to acquire Aaron Rodgers? It's a loaded question, but it's a part of discussing what he did here. Because I said it a few minutes ago, he failed twice at quarterback. He failed with Zach Wilson, clearly his decision, and then he failed with bringing in the veteran Aaron Rodgers. Well, now...
That's a good question.
Who made the decision to go after Aaron Rodgers? Which, by the way, I raised my hand, I co-signed. As a fan, I was all for it.
Everybody co-signed it, because why not?
Right.
Right, if he wants out of Green Bay, because they drafted Jordan Love, and he's not going to be there for to end his career, then why not? If he's available, absolutely. He came off two MVPs.
I wanted to make the move. You wanted to make the move. But guess what? We don't get fired for bad decisions that the teams we root for or don't root for make. We give our opinions. I wanted Aaron Rodgers. Hmm. Did Joe Douglas want Aaron Rodgers? Now, maybe he'll reveal that when he writes the tell-all book that nobody buys. But did he want him? Because that all relates to this, too. When the new general manager and the new head coach... maybe the same person, maybe two different people, when they come in, do they get to decide about the quarterback? Or is Christopher Johnson, who may well own this team, because Woody may be in the UK before you know it, will Christopher Johnson, who according to Ian O'Connor, who wrote that great book about Aaron Rodgers, they have a special relationship, Aaron Rodgers and Christopher Johnson. Very special. Loves them.
Do they?
Like BFFs. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So
after, you know... a dinner together?
I guess so. Maybe they had a few dinners together. Who knows? Maybe they went karaoke one night. I have no idea. But will that new GM be able to decide about Aaron Rodgers? This is the stuff that worries the crap out of me, because the New York Jets have bad ownership.
Right. And the challenge, you just mentioned it, but whoever takes this job is going to be in somewhat cap hell if you decide to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. Like, so you either have to take Aaron Rodgers or hope he retires or move off of him, which is kind of impossible because of his contract. And so it's not ideal for the general manager, and it's not ideal for whoever's the head coach next year.
Well, it's part of why the New York Jets have the most unappealing job in the NFL, and it's not close. Mm. It's not even like, well, let's carry the one here.
I'd say Cleveland.
No, this is worse.
I mean,
this worse.
Cleveland's got a ton of money in Deshaun Watson.
But is that the only reason why you decide whether you're a young GM or you're a veteran proven GM? And trust me, I have a list that includes both. When you make that decision, that's a short-term thing. That's a short-term issue to figure out. The long-term issue is, will my boss allow me to do my job? And the evidence shows you that Jet ownership won't allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. Look, I ask for two things from a good owner. I want you to spend a lot of money. I want you to hire the right people and allow them to do their job. That's all I ask. If they don't do their job, eventually you've got to step in and fire them and hire someone else. Woody Johnson has a lot of money. Okay, definitely does. But will he allow these guys to do their job? Because with Joe Douglas, he allowed him to do it for a while. And by the way, Joe had some good moments. He had a lot of bad moments. The bad is that they were 30-63. The good is, yes, they restocked the cupboard with talent. But ultimately, they fired his hand-picked coach. The owner did.
Yeah.
What executive sees that and says, oh, I can't wait to work for him? That's the problem.
It's even hard to think about where the Jets go from here. Like, where do you go from here?
I have a list.
Now, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about from a go to work and try to have normalcy.
Are you talking about right now?
Yes.
I tell you, you know what I would do right now?
Right now, it's got to feel like what in the hell. If I'm a player on the Jets, I'm saying, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah. Your coach and GM both got fired in the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Like, what is this? We're in the middle of the season. Now, I know they're 3-7 and they're
3-8.
3-8, and they're basically out of it. But there's still six games left.
I know. Don't remind me.
And so
you think I want there to be six games left?
If you're a player on this team, you're like, what in the world is happening?
It's a hellhole.
It's just not a conducive environment for doing what you have to do.
By the way, don't you love how Tiki and I describe the same thing? And he uses eloquent words like, it's not an ideal situation to succeed. And I'm like, it's a hellhole. Like, this is the worst situation in football.
The New York Jets suck.
They do. They're a dysfunctional mess. And this isn't me defending Joe Douglas. Like, Joe Douglas's tenure here is a fascinating one in that pound for pound, he made a lot of really good moves. Like, he really did. If we went through every move he made, whether it was decisions to trade players like Jamal Adams, whether it was decisions to draft guys, and don't tell me it's easy to pick guys in the first round. I don't want to hear anyone tell me, well, Sauce and Garrett Wilson are easy. Really? Is Evan Neal easy? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to just pick on the Giants.
Right. You have to get that right.
You got to get it right. So Joe Douglas did a lot of really good things when it comes to picking individual players. And I said this to you a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again on the day he got fired. The tough thing that you can't ignore is 30-63. Like, how do you...
Oh, yeah, no.
You can't look past that.
He earned getting fired. There's no doubt about that. It's not as if, you know, you're saying, what was me? Sorry, Joe, you didn't deserve it. He deserved to be fired. Of course he did. But it's the way that this all has gone down from... After week five, firing the head coach, ill-advised, whatever, putting Jeff Ulbrich as the head coach and now defensive coordinator, and then a few weeks later, you're firing the general manager. It doesn't feel like there's a plan.
No, there is no plan.
It feels like this is just fly by the seat of our pants and let's make decisions based on how I feel in the morning.
Well, you know what I think it is? And this is what I find real interesting about Woody Johnson. There have been reports, not from me just as a fan saying this, that he listens to the fans. Like, he'll actually check social media and see the mood of the fan base. And the fan base turned on Robert Saleh. The fan base has turned on Joe Douglas. And even in the past, when he got rid of John Idzik after just two seasons. Now, John Idzik was bad. He was 12-20. That's a better win percentage than Joe Douglas's 2 years. But he got rid of him really quickly. To get rid of a GM after 2 years, Teak, takes a very special kind of awfulness.
Yeah. You haven't even established a culture of the team yet.
And he got rid of him quickly, in part because the fans revolted. What I find interesting, Woody, is if you really listen to the fans as much as you do... Do you notice the other thing that trends on Twitter every other day? Sell the team. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that. But again, if you're listening to everything the fans say, that's the other thing the fans are saying. Whether you like it or not, that's the other thing they're saying. And unfortunately, whether it's Woody or it's Christopher or whomever is running the day-to-day, again, I said this yesterday about the benching of Daniel Jones. Celebrating the firing of somebody is really not a great day. It's a sad day. Because when you hire Joe Douglas, there's hope. When you give him 6 years and they gave him 5.5, there's hope. When you draft Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, there's hope. And here on November 19th, 2024, I hate to say this to my fellow Jet fan, we're hopeless. We're a bunch of hopeless losers. There's no easy fix. There's no easy way to go. I made a list. I have it right here on executives I would target. Dude, it was a painful list to make.
Why?
Because I don't think anybody wants the job. I can make the list all day. I can sell you on these names. Some you've heard of, some you haven't. At the end of the day, if you want to be an executive in the NFL, do you want to work for this? Do you?
It's only 32 of them have.
I understand, but right. You've seen guys who say, no, I'd rather wait for the better one. Because if you come here and your name is John Idzik, you're one and done. What's the other GM job John Idzik got, fellas? Want to name it?
Doesn't have one.
I'm not done. I'm making a point. Mm-hmm. Mike Maccagnan, what's the next GM job he got?
Doesn't have one.
Thank you. Joe Douglas, is he getting another GM job?
Well, I don't know.
You come here to die as an executive.
I don't know if a lot of GMs get GM jobs elsewhere. Do they?
If they're good.
I mean, if they're
good to hang on for a long time.
If they have some success, they usually do. Those guys, I don't even know what they're doing. Like, does John Idzik have a job in the NFL? Does Mike Maccagnan work in the NFL? Like, you're Joe Douglas and you learn from some of the best, man. You learn from some of the best. You learn from Ozzie Newsome, right? Didn't he learn from Ozzie? Mm-hmm. He learned from Howie Roseman, right? He learned from some of the best. And you get 6 years here in New York, and after 5.5, you're 30-63, and your owner basically is interceding whenever you want to make moves. Do you really come out of that looking clean? Do you come out of that in a better place? So I wish you were right, Sean, when you said, oh, there's only 32 of them. I'm sure someone will take it. Yes, someone will take it. But will the best ones take it? And will the right ones take it? And will this owner learn from the mistakes he's made? I'm sorry. This is a hopeless day in Jet history.
The Jets killed Carl.
And they're killing all of us. We'll get to your calls next. I'll also unveil my list and get Tiki's unbiased perspective on some of the names I throw at him, some of which you're going to know very well. And you're going to say, wow, Evan, oh, I didn't even know you've ever heard of that guy. 2:28 on the film. We'll get to your calls in a second on Joe Douglas. I compiled a list of options for the New York Jets on who could become their next general manager, who could be their next savior. I'll go through it very, very quickly, and you tell me, Tiki, if you like the choices. You ready? Number one, let's start with the obvious, Bill Belichick. You give him a phone call, offer him the keys to the castle, and then he laughs.
No, he hates Woody.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Nope.
Number two, and these are guys I'm going to have to describe to a lot of the audience. They are not proven GMs yet, but here are their resumes. Number one, Mike Greenberg, not the guy from ESPN. No,
it's not. Greeny.
Which one?
Mike Greenberg.
The one I'm about to refer to?
No.
Or the ESPN one?
The ESPN one.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, no offense to him, I'm not endorsing him as the next GM of the Jets. Yeah. I'm endorsing this other guy who works in Tampa underneath Jason Light.
His number is in my cell phone.
Who, Mike? The Mike Greenberg I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's one of Rondé's best friends, and I'm tight with him as well.
So would he be a good choice?
He'd be a great choice.
Here's the rumor I hear about Mike Greenberg.
What's that?
And I'm telling you,
He's a New York kid.
He's a Long Island guy.
Been a capologist.
Capologist, and grew up, and this matters. I'm sorry. Grew up as a Jets fan.
Yep.
And I do think that's like a nice added bonus, because you know why?
I'm biased. I want Mike Greenberg.
So you like that choice?
Yeah, because I know him.
Well, but do you think he'd be good at the job?
He's been good at his job in Tampa.
Okay. Are you surprised I came up with Mike Greenberg?
I am pretty sure.
All right, thank you. Number two, Mike Borgonzi, the longtime assistant in Kansas City for Veach. Mm. He's been in Kansas City for like a decade. Anyone affiliated with the Chiefs and the success they've had, even though I know Pat Mahomes has a lot to do with it, Andy Reid has a lot to do with it, anyone learning under the tree of Andy Reid and Veach and everything they've accomplished.
Yeah, go get the best player at the most important position, and you'll win a lot.
Well, yeah, but I'm
just minimizing it.
I know you are. I know you are.
That's really what they did.
All right. How about Ray Agnew, the assistant general manager in Detroit?
My former teammate.
You played with Agnew?
I played with Agnew. He's with the Giants for 3 years, and he left, and he came back my first year.
Would he be a good
1997.
Would he be a good executive?
Well, there's an interesting tie, because Ray Agnew III is a scout for the New York Jets.
Oh. Yeah.
His son is a scout.
Yeah. I don't know if that helps, because that means he's worked for the Jets, and he's going to say, Dad,
Ray Agnew's in a great spot right now.
Well, he's going to be one of the hottest GMs out there.
Of course.
And I think him and Ben Johnson may get connected the way Brian Daboll and Joe Shane got connected.
That's an interesting thought process.
You like what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
All right. Tiki's impressed by my list.
I don't know if Ben Johnson is going to be copacetic with Aaron Rodgers.
No, Aaron Rodgers is gone. He's dead to us.
Mm. No.
Do you mind if I borrow that from you, sir?
Yeah, you can. But
thank you.
Really?
Yes! I'm going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers next year? You know what? Let me rephrase that. If I got Ray Agnew to be my general manager, I'm going to say to Ray, it's your decision. If you want Aaron Rodgers, cool. If you don't, get rid of him. You're the general manager. You're the decider.
I just see what the Detroit Lions do with Jared Goff, and it is nothing like what the Jets do with Aaron Rodgers.
That's a part of why I think they would get rid of Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, you're right.
Now, can I give you my last name?
Go ahead.
So I've gone long and hard about this name. This is a guy that's won before. I'm about to name a general manager that's won a Super Bowl. I'm about to name a general manager that, for whatever reason, has not worked in the NFL as a GM in 7 years. Mm. But it is somebody you know. And I don't know if your initial reaction is going to be glowing or negative. I genuinely have no idea. So what about Jerry Reese as the next general manager?
I just saw Jerry Reese at the Giant 100
thing. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Interesting.
What has Jerry Reese been doing?
I have no idea. All I know is he was a GM in New York. They won a Super Bowl. It did not end well. And I think we all know that. Like the roster
but he did
building.
He did put together two Super Bowl teams.
That's why I.
And his 07 draft had probably as many contributors from a draft class that any Super Bowl team had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, has he not worked in the league since?
He's interviewed for jobs. Like, I think he... What job did he interview for last year, Sean?
Whenever the Cardinals just hired their GM, maybe 2 years ago, he was in on that
so
job.
So he's in the circle of trying to get a job.
But he has not had a job in the league since he left the Giants?
I'm not seeing an official listing since he was dismissed. Wow. That was the Ben McAdoo year.
I'm intrigued by Jerry Reese. I'm not saying he's at the top of my list, but, you know, we talk about guys that have done it before. We talk about someone who can help turn this franchise around. He was a part of something successful in this town.
Right. He won two championships.
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's an interesting one.
The thing about Agnew and Bergonzi and Greenberg is they're all executives that you hope take the next step and become great, like Joe Douglas. We have no idea. Jerry Reese has had the top job before, so I throw his name in there as an option because for a lot of Jet fans who are my age, they like to say, we need the Bill Parcells of our era. Bill saved us from the Richie Kotite era. And while he did, I don't think there's a Bill Parcells walking around. Bill Belichick's the closest thing, and he hates Woody Johnson. He's not going to take the job.
No, but as much as people want to keep pointing to that, I don't see him being with the New York Jets in any capacity.
Should Woody or Chris make the phone call? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You should always make the phone call.
Can you imagine how awkward that's going to be?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but just imagine how awkward that's going to be.
That's their problem.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You know who should make the phone call?
The relationship matters.
I know who has his phone number, and they've had a relationship in the past. I think there's only one guy who should make the phone call to Bill Belichick.
Bad job by me.
Joe Beningo.
Joe B.
He knows Bill. Bill, let me die. I know you. Bro, I got to ask you a crazy freaking question.
Hey, you want to be the Jets? You want to come to the Jets and be the GM or maybe?
Joe B. We'll give you everything. We'll give you $20 million a year and everything. All right, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019.
We do have us. Yeah, I would say semi-minor breaking NFL news in our town.
Go ahead.
The Giants have signed another quarterback.
Who?
Tim Boyle.
What am I, a mirage?
This from Art Stapleton moments ago.
What?
They're signing Tim Boyle. They are signing him to the practice squad, but the belief is this is where the injury guarantee comes in. They want a third quarterback in the room to make sure Jones never sees that field.
They're making sure that Daniel never gets on the field again. Because there was a question the other day of, hey, what if DeVito gets hurt and Locke gets hurt? Could Daniel play again? I think they're telling you, no, he's not playing again.
So in honor of Joe Douglas being dismissed, Tim Boyle has been signed to the New York Giants.
Congratulations. Let's get to your calls. Bobby's on Long Island. What's up, Bobby?
All right. Speaking of Tim Boyle, I got a number of things to say, so please don't hang up on me. Tim Boyle, okay. They fired the assistant general manager today, okay? The real general manager should have fired it. They can't get rid of his Rodgers, Emperor Rodgers. He brought in all his crap from Green Bay. Okay, Boyle, he sabotaged the team last year by bringing in Boyle. That's his buddy. Wanted him as a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, Evan, this really pertains to you.
Go
sorry,
ahead.
Tiki. Look at Ackerson, okay? Durant and Irving brought in their own coach, Nash. They wanted Ackerson out, a real good coach.
Yeah.
Had the desk playing hard. They got rid of Jared Allen, got DeAndre Jordan. Now look at Hockenson now. He's 15-0 in his first year as a Cavalier coach. This is what I'm saying. When you have players come in here, I don't blame the owner, obviously. You know, he's the one that runs the show.
I gotta tell you, like, I mean, you make a good point.
What, that the Jets are the Nets?
No, maybe not, but you can't have players coming in and making decisions about stuff that they shouldn't be making decisions about.
No, it backfires. I think he's right.
Kenny Atkinson is like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, maybe they have a little bit of a soft schedule, but they're undefeated.
No, listen, I don't want to...
And he was good with the Nets.
For a myriad of reasons, I do not want to refight the decisions that the Nets made 4 years ago. A, it's the Nets, and B, it was 4 years ago.
The Nets right. still in the
so
league.
I'm talking about that, but the point is correct.
Yes, stars running teams don't seem to work.
It does not. It never works.
But Joe...
LeBron might be the only one, and that's because it's LeBron. Like, he's the GOAT.
Right.
Not the GOAT. I mean, Jordan's the GOAT, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Doing that. He's the best at doing that.
No, I get that. And I think that Aaron Rodgers had a hand in a lot of decisions that they made.
Clearly
but let's
did.
Not excuse Joe Douglas overall failed. He did. I mean, 30-64 speaks for itself. A lot of the 30-64 came before Aaron Rodgers ever walked through the door.
Right.
So it's fair to criticize Aaron Rodgers. I'm with you on that. And in this moment, I don't want him back next year. I have no interest in him coming back next year. But let's not use it as almost an excuse to defend where Joe Douglas failed. Because Joe Douglas failed plenty. Erickson Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
What's happening, boys? How we doing?
Good, man.
Oh, God, the Jets. I mean, I just, Evan, as Jets fans, it's like, it's remarkable how it continues to get worse. It really is.
Yes.
And this is just another example of how inept and just incompetent Woody Johnson is as an owner.
Yeah.
And right now, this is the stuff that we worried about 6 months ago, even 12 months ago, when we knew that the Aaron Rodgers thing was happening. Like, this is actually worse than what we thought it could possibly be, because now... Right. Where do they go? And I don't know the answer to that because, like, you can't move past Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's coming back next year.
Devastating. Eric, I disagree with that. I don't think we have to be committed to Aaron Rodgers coming back. What we need to be committed to is that whoever Woody hires, and hopefully it's the right guy, gets to decide it.
Yeah.
4 more years.
He needs to decide it. Look, I have my opinion, but what I want more than anything else is the owner to hand the keys to this franchise to somebody competent to run it without Woody or Christopher getting involved. And if that person says and sells me at a press conference, you know what, guys? I'm going to make it work with Aaron. Now, I have a long-term plan too, but in the short term, we can win with Aaron. Then as much as I may disagree with that, I'll say, all right, at least I have a sane football executive making that decision.
Right. It's almost like they need a buffer, like someone between the owner and the general manager.
Well, they need a savior, Teak. I hate to use that word, but they truly need a Bill Parcells of our era. And what sucks about that is I went through some of the names. That guy doesn't exist. Like, Bill Parcells was a unicorn in terms of leaving franchises, being really smart, and being a guy willing and wanting the job.
There's only one guy, I think, who would qualify, and he's not leaving where he is. That's Andy Reid.
Right.
Seriously, Andy Reid got to how many championship games with the Eagles, one Super Bowl, and now how many championship games with the Chiefs? Like, he's that guy.
Right, but like you said, he's not leaving. Bill couldn't wait to leave. Andy only left Philadelphia because they forced him out.
Right, they ran him out of there, as crazy as that sounds, but whatever. You're right. There isn't that long-term, old-school, respected coach who could be general manager.
Right.
There's not any more of them. Bill Belichick is the closest that there is.
He's the closest they have, and that's why they're going to probably hire the younger executive that we hope is the answer. But A, who knows if he is, and B, who knows if Woody or Christopher is going to actually allow them to fully do their job. Joe Douglas got time to do his job, but by the end, look what happened.
Right, he wasn't good at it.
He was good at parts of it.
Right.
But not all of it.
He wasn't good at putting a winner out,
right,
which is really all that matters.
Of course, you got to win. I mean, this franchise has had one winning season since 2011. That is unbelievable. One winning season. A fart in the wind, as I like to call it. Let's go to Rob in Manalapan. Rob.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
Evan, a little while ago, you asked, thank you, a little while ago, you asked if Joe Douglas was the one who wanted Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's pretty obvious that he probably gave Woody a list of names, because prior to that deal, the Jets kept everything close to the vest. They had a clear plan. It didn't always work, but it was youth, trade four draft picks, and keep things close to the vest. No leaks. No, and Joe was actually lauded for making good deals by not giving away leverage.
Right.
Woody Johnson heard Aaron Rodgers' name, and that was it. Took the steering wheel, drove the bus off the cliff, and now the Jets have gone in the exact opposite direction for 2 years.
So here's the key question now about Joe Douglas with Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback. Joe Douglas failing on Zach Wilson allowed that to happen. And right. I think we all agreed he failed on Zach Wilson.
And so the desperation move afterwards is to go get an Aaron Rodgers.
But if Joe Douglas had full control, and let's say he didn't want Aaron Rodgers, maybe he was just nervous about his age and the way it ended up in Green Bay, who would he have gotten?
I don't, you know.
And would it have ended better than where we're sitting today?
The answer, the actual answer before the Aaron Rodgers experiment, was to find someone to teach Zach Wilson. That's what they should have done. Instead, they brought in guys who were looking for the quick answer, that is, go get Aaron Rodgers. And I love Nate, but Nate's not a teacher of young quarterbacks.
Mm.
He works with the vets, and they do great jobs together, as Aaron and he did in Green Bay when he won those two MVPs, those back-to-back MVPs. But they weren't – Zach wasn't – they should have tried to get Zach right. Instead, they butchered it.
Wasn't it over by that point, year three?
I'm talking before.
Oh, prior, like when they broke Zach Wilson to begin with.
Right.
Okay.
I'm talking year one,
two of
Zach Wilson.
I agree. They should have had a veteran quarterback start right away.
100%. He got handed the job.
Yes.
Three straight years.
Yes.
And it's just like, what are you doing?
I agree. The year one mistake was, and I'm not sure.
And it's okay to make it in year one. Don't make it in year two.
No, I agree with you. I wonder if they had, let's say, a Teddy Bridgewater-like, who they did have years ago, and then they traded him away. If they had a Teddy Bridgewater, or whatever bridge quarterback you want to come up with.
Yep.
Maybe, by the way, you know who the bridge quarterback could have been? I'll blow your mind with this one. Sam Darnold.
Right.
They didn't necessarily have to trade him to Carolina.
Right, but he was, what was his deal? I think
he had one more year left on his deal.
Yeah, no.
Now, they got a good return for him. I admit that. That was one of Joe Douglas's better moves.
But you could have just let him play out the last year of his deal.
The point is, where we agree, is that they messed up, that Zach shouldn't have started right away.
Yes.
A lot of these young guys are not ready to immediately start away. Even Daniel Jones didn't start right away. Eli was here.
Yeah. But you got to earn it. Like, I don't think Zach ever earned it.
No.
It just was given to him.
No, and that's a part of the mistakes that Joe Douglas made.
Mm-hmm.
He drafted Zach Wilson. He did not put him in a position to succeed. Then when they gave up on Zach Wilson, whether it was his decision to get Rodgers or not, they went to go the veteran route. And I'm not sure if it was Derek Carr instead of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure that would have worked out better.
Yeah, but I just
think, I'm really not.
I just think back to like a defensive head coach without an offensive mind around a young quarterback. Why would you do that?
Mm.
And
a first-time offensive coordinator in LaFleur, who you didn't know would be the right caretaker.
Yeah.
He's not Cliff Kingsbury.
And so Joe Douglas's biggest, you know, flaw here was that he didn't manage the Zach Wilson thing right. And then when it blows up in your face after 3 years, you go just try to find the biggest Band-Aid you can.
Right.
And that was Aaron Rodgers.
But if that was a different Band-Aid, if the Band-Aid was Derek Carr, or the Band-Aid was, name me the other veteran quarterback.
It would have been a lot less financially complicated.
Okay. And it would have been less drama-filled.
100%.
What would the results have been?
I don't know.
Would they have been better?
Maybe better.
Maybe.
With a great defense and Derek Carr, right? Does that not sound appealing?
I mean, everything.
More so, especially given in retrospect.
Everything sounds more appealing than this mess. I mean, everything.
I mean, Derek Carr is not great, and the Saints are, you know, a disaster right now, but I don't know. He won in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I also think that going to sleep on a bed of nails is more appealing than being a New York Jet fan right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy that broke the story earlier today is the great Connor Hughes of SNY. Connor, thank you very much for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Why today?
Good point. I wish I could track down and give you guys that answer, and everyone that I've talked to has kind of been able to just kind of throw their hands up. I will say that Joe Douglas the job that he was hired to do back when he first took over is he had full say on everything that was going on with the Jets. And when Robert Saleh was hired, he was his boss as well. That has not been the case dating back to about January. I mean, I think a lot of the power that he had was relieved a little bit, and he was he had a say certainly in things, but it was very clear that the Jets were in the process of phasing him out. It was very clear throughout this season that Joe Douglas was no longer the primary voice within the building, and it was just a matter of time before he was out.
If he wasn't the primary voice, who was the decider and the voice with Joe Douglas being kind of demoted then?
Yeah.
I think it was collective across everybody, I think, talking. I think ownership, obviously, look, Woody Johnson's the one who takes over this team. He's the one who stepped in and fired Robert Saleh and said he fired Robert Saleh and then kind of discussed things with Joe Douglas. But this was very clearly a situation where Woody was fed up with the team. I mean, he's invested a lot of resources of his into making the Jets a contender. He believed that this was, you know, he followed what Joe Douglas said should have been done, followed Robert Saleh said should have been done, and it wasn't necessarily working. So I think he took a much more hands-on approach this offseason. It took him on a much more hands-on approach this year, and obviously that it's backfired a little bit with the Jets being 3-8 and what, 3% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, and how much of this is on Aaron Rodgers and I don't say it's not his fault, but you know what I mean, the drama that he brought with the injury and then the bringing in Davante Adams, the Aaron Rodgers effect on this is got to be somewhat huge.
Someone asked me, actually, I think we were doing an SNY thing. Janae Coakley was the one that asked me if I thought Rodgers had anything to do with the firing of Joe Douglas. And I said, absolutely not. I mean, this was, nothing there. I mean, Rodgers, I know this from talking to multiple sources. He wants to play in 2025, but whether or not he plays with the Jets in 2025 was tied to continuity and stability, meaning the general manager and the head coach.
Right.
Well, Saleh's gone, Olbrich's going to be gone, and now they just fired Joe Douglas. So, right. So Aaron had absolutely nothing to do with this. But
how do they get out? Can they get out of this in any way? Because it's a big hit, right?
They'll be fine. I think it's. I got to look specifically at over the cap and break down the final numbers of it. But they'll be fine. It's not like a situation where they're going to be saddled with like $60 million in dead money or anything that. They'll be able to get out of that, Tiki. But this is just a situation here where I don't think Aaron Rodgers, the person, or Aaron Rodgers' interest outside of the Jets is having any kind of damning effect on this team. It's more just the play hasn't been very good. And I really go back to more than anything else, and I talked about this a ton. It's the Nathaniel Hackett thing. And I know that he's no longer the offensive coordinator, but the Jets identified a problem with the offense last offseason. And they tried to replace him this past offseason. Arthur Smith was the person they wanted to bring in. And what Arthur Smith was going to do is he was not going to be the offensive coordinator. Hackett was still going to remain that title, but he was going to oversee the entire operation. He was going to call plays because the Jets believed that Hackett had lost his fastball. That's identifying a problem and saying, we have an issue here. When they weren't able to get Smith because he made what clearly looks like the right decision and went over to the Steelers.
Right.
They turned around and they were like, okay, Aaron will be able to save us. Well, Tiki, Aaron hasn't saved them.
No.
He hasn't been able to save them. And then the struggles on the offense led to Robert Saleh getting fired. Robert Saleh getting fired led to Jeff Olbrich getting promoted. But then because Jeff Olbrich was promoted and they never went out and got a new defensive coordinator, not the defense.
And thing, there was nobody on the staff to do it.
Exactly. It's just a wholesale just devolving to the point of a 3-8 disaster. And it really, I think, stems back to just hoping things were going to be fine on offense.
Connor, why did they not target someone else after Arthur Smith? Because I know what you're talking about. It's the reason
they did. They just no one wanted the job, man. Mm-hmm. Like it was just no one wanted the job. It was it's almost one of the reasons why the Jets were stuck getting Nathaniel Hackett after they fired Mike LaFleur was like it was the same questions. Like, well, this is a win now mandate where if you guys don't make the playoffs, I'm out of a job already.
Right.
I'm not technically going to be the offensive coordinator. How much say am I going to have? Can I work with Aaron Rodgers, which is a big piece of this as well? Am I just going to be running his offense or my offense? And it never materialized.
Yeah. You see that.
You used a phrase, and that phrase makes me laugh and cry all at the same time. You said no one wanted the job. And that's my fear as a Jet fan moving forward. We as fans have no choice. We're stuck with this franchise. But all these other executives or coaches, they got choices. They can say no to a job and maybe wait for a better job. Is anybody going to ever want to work here?
If you're hoping for like the Ben Johnson and the Mike Vrabel, like the quintessential, no doubt, number one, number two coaching candidates out there, I would probably have some of my doubts. But what I will say, Evan, is that if you look at the Jets' situation now, mm-hmm. from the past times they had the vacancies, you can't really compare them. You know, this team
from
is in a
perspective.
Much...
From a talent Correct. Perspective. Yeah, absolutely.
And that matters. Okay. Yeah, that matters a lot. Like, again, that matters a lot. And ultimately, if you want to bring in ownership and things like that, they're happy if you're winning. The reason why Woody's pissed off and making some rash decisions is because they're not winning. Like, if they were winning, there's no problem. Robert's still here. Jeff's still defensive coordinator. Aaron's happy. It's because they're not winning. So there aren't too many other teams out there with the young talent that's on this roster where if you can get some questions answered in terms of financial, what's the budget going to look like, things like that, how much money are we going to be willing to spend, and you feel comfortable like that, people are going to want this job. Might not be the number one or number two candidate, but if three or four, they'll be there.
All right, so Woody or Christopher, I don't know who's running this team because we don't know the future of Woody Johnson, but when Christopher was running the team for those 4 years, he made some god-awful decisions, but was he less hands-on than Woody? Was he kind of, all right, I hired you guys and go do your job? What was the ownership like of him as compared to Woody over the last 4 years?
Christopher, his biggest downfall was that he was so trustworthy and so... do your job. I hired the job for you to do that. He didn't step in time when things started spiraling. I mean, this guy genuinely, Evan, I don't know if you've had a chance to ever meet him. He is beloved within the organization, players, staffers. You talk to him for 2 minutes and I mean, you would never know what his net worth is because he's one of the most down to earth human beings you'll ever come across. And that comes off when you speak to him, and he has that relationship with most of the people in that building.
Right.
His problem, his first time running it, was trusting Mike Maccagnan far too long, trusting Adam Gase far too long. But he trusted Mike Maccagnan because he said, you're my general manager. I'm going to let you be my general manager. Like, I hired you to be my GM. I'm going to let you be my GM. Go do it. And then when he realized it was too late, and he fired him after the draft in free agency. I genuinely believe that if he is given the opportunity to have hands-on, day-to-day, everyday control of the Jets, and it truly is Christopher pulling the strings, he will be significantly better than what he was his first time around. Now, from my understanding, though, the GM and head coach are going to be Woody influence. Like, Woody's going to oversee that entire search process. I don't know if you'll hire, like, a firm or I think we haven't gotten there yet with somebody to consult with. But he will be handling that process as the overseer until then he gets a position within Trump's administration, and then Christopher will take over.
Well, they don't have a president, right? I mean, a football operation. I know Jaime's the president.
No, but yeah, Jaime's the president,
but,
yeah.
But do they have a football side president or executive?
No, it's basically Joe. No, it was Douglas. Like, Douglas ran the show. Like, when they brought him over from Philadelphia, I mean, Joe, again, if you talk about, like, prospects, like, he's the perfect prospect of a manager because, you know, from Baltimore, success in Philly, knows how to do it, football guy, longtime scout, held every job you can hold. They basically gave him full control of it, so he brought in his guys like Chad Alexander and Rex Hogan and all those dudes to help him run the show. And it's just, again, there were mistakes made at quarterback, but also some picks and things that he did that did work out pretty well. But I do think right now, this was from people I've talked to that know Joe, I mean, there is a big sense of relief that he can just go on and figure out what he's going to do next. Because, like I said, for the last, you see him in the press box, you see him around the building. Right. The guy just looks sad, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ran it. He just looked very, very
that's,
sad.
That's Jet fans, too. I mean, Jet fans and Joe Douglas have a very similar look. We're talking to Connor Hughes of SNY, the Jets, of course, firing Joe Douglas. Now, you mentioned before the GM and coaching search will be heavy Woody influenced. Does Woody Johnson want Aaron Rodgers back at quarterback?
Well, that's a good question. From the people that I've spoken to, I don't know if this is directly Woody. I can't speak for Woody. I haven't talked to him. But from people that I've talked to about the general idea of the direction that the Jets are headed, they believe that this organization would prefer a fresh start at GM, head coach, and quarterback, that they would prefer that. The caveat in all of this is that Christopher Johnson and Aaron have a very, very close relationship. They are very, very close. There is the possibility that they could come out and say, like, look, like, they could talk to each other and figure something out. And Aaron comes back next year is realizing what you'd see in free agency or people that are cut. He's probably the best bridge you can have. But in all likelihood, Aaron's going to want to go something different. The Jets are going to want to go something different. Because, again, like Evan, Tiki, you guys know, when Aaron came here, he didn't come here because he wanted to something new. He didn't come here because he wanted to be challenged.
Right.
He left where the new offense and being challenged, he wanted something that he was familiar with. And that's why he rejoined with Hackett. That's why he brought all his buddies from Green Bay, was because he wanted to create an environment of what he used to do and what he was happy with and what he wanted to do. New GM means brand new viewpoint on the roster. New coach means brand new offensive scheme. I don't see Rodgers at 41 being like, yeah, sure, let's try something brand new. Like, right. He's going to want to go somewhere. If he plays next year, it's going to be somewhere he's familiar with.
Especially Connor, because as you know, that the offenses are, they are so different from what Aaron Rodgers runs offensively. It's night and day from what he does and what a lot of these other, you know, call
which
them.
Blows my mind. Like, I this may surprise you guys. I've never been a quarterback in the NFL before. But the one time that he was challenged and pushed in Green Bay,
yeah,
it was two MVP seasons and the best years he's ever had.
Agreed.
And then he was like, I want out. I'm done. I can't. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, yeah, but it worked.
Right.
Like, that's what I can't wrap my brain around. But, I mean, to each their own.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we're talking to Connor Hughes about the Jets. Joe Douglas out as GM a few weeks ago. Robert Saleh was out as head coach. Now, when they fired Robert Saleh, my initial reaction as someone that didn't believe in Robert Saleh was the timing sucks. Like, this just felt so weird to do this. And the other thing, which turned out to be the big mistake in firing Saleh, was who they promoted. So since this wasn't a Joe Douglas call, this was a Woody call, was there ever discussions on, hey, maybe we should promote Boyer, special teams coach? Organizations do that sometimes when they fire a head coach. Let's not mess with the strength of our team. Were those discussions ever happening? And was it just Woody simply saying, our defense is the best, let's promote our defensive coordinator? Like, what happened in that process that led to Ulbrich being the guy?
There was never any consideration of Boyer. There was never consideration to, like, Ron Middleton, who, remember when Saleh had COVID the one year and he had to miss a game? Ron Middleton actually won it. Oh, I think the Jets won that game.
That's right.
Yeah, 1,000 winning percentage. there was never any consideration for that. I think it was that the Jets believed, and there was a resounding sentiment, whether it was online or around the league, that Jeff Ulbrich would be a really good head coach. And Jeff Ulbrich was probably, if this season went well, Jeff Ulbrich was going to be getting head coaching interviews after the year.
Yeah.
That they should give the job to Jeff Ulbrich. I genuinely believe, guys, that if they had said, okay, Jeff, you are now the head coach, and Aaron Whitecotton is being promoted to defensive coordinator, Mike Ruttenberg's being promoted to defensive coordinator, I think that you're probably in a different position. The problem is that there was never even an interim DC named. It was just like, okay, Jeff, you're now doing both. Slap them on the butt and say, go get them, buddy.
Right.
And it's just been a failure.
Well,
so,
I
like,
mean, Connor, we had them last week, Connor. And I asked Ulbrich, I asked him if, you know, why he didn't appoint an interim. And the thing he said was, because we were playing so well, I wanted to keep some continuity. And so he stayed in that role. The challenge is that when you become a head coach, there's a lot of stuff you got to do, right? It's just a different animal. You just don't have time. So, I mean, maybe that was his one flaw that he made, was not giving that job to someone else. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a big one. And I think the other thing that was probably underestimated as well, for all his faults and people want to rip him, Robert Saleh is a pretty damn good defensive mind.
Right.
And he didn't get the Jets job by accident. I mean, those San Francisco defenses were unreal. There were moments in just about every single game where, while he didn't step on Jeff's toes and he didn't call the defense for Ulbrich, he never took over play calling or anything like that, he would go up to Brick and make a comment or two like, hey, I'm seeing blah, 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 maybe we should try this, that.
Hmm.
Like, that's just, it's another defensive mind on the sideline to help with minor tweaks and adjustments. That's now gone.
Yeah.
And you never replaced it. And I think that also hurt him as well.
Yeah, you can see how much it hurts him. It's Evan and Tiki here on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. We're talking to Connor Hughes. All right. So when I was in high school and I was a geek and there was a very, 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 very attractive girl, I would still try. I would ask her out, even though I knew she ain't going to say yes.
I'm a loser.
All right. I would always give it a try. Will Woody Johnson, as the older Evan Roberts geeked him in high school, at least pick up the phone and call up Mr. Bill Belichick and say, look, Bill, I know you insult me all the time. I know you take your shots. I know you think I'm a big idiot. But would you have any interest in saving this franchise? Will that phone call take place, Connor?
I would be floored if that happened. I think he'll call Ben Johnson. I know he'll call Mike Vrabel. It wouldn't surprise me to see Mike Vrabel take the interview, although he'll have plenty of opportunities. But no, I don't think Bill Belichick. And I'll be honest with you guys, I don't think that's necessarily the route the Jets should go. I know they want a proven head coach. I know that's what they prefer, probably offensive mind with someone with head coaching experience. But no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah. In terms of a general manager, because I was throwing names out at Tiki, and look, they're the names you're always going to hear, like the young executive with successful franchises. But I think a part of me as a Jet fan says, boy, I'd like to have someone who's done it before. Like, yeah. You never knew about Joe Douglas or Mike Maccagnan or John Idzik. But, and maybe you hit. Maybe you do hire, you know, Ray Agnew from Detroit, and he's the next great general manager. So I was thinking, all right, is there someone who's done it before? And the name I'm like flirting with, and I'm curious if you've heard anything about this guy in terms of getting a job, is Jerry Reese, because he had success
in New
York.
Very interesting.
Like, he was good here. I know it didn't end great. He wasn't perfect. Giant fans were mad at him at the end. I get it. But he won a Super Bowl here, won two Super Bowls here. Is there interest around the league in Jerry Reese? And in your opinion, could you see that being a fit with the Jets?
There's a lot of interest from Jerry Reese of getting back in. I know I've heard that over the last couple of years, that he's been trying to get back in the league. He'd like another opportunity. I haven't heard of him getting any general manager interviews or anything like that, but that is a really interesting name. And it's funny you actually bring that up. I was thinking about him the other day just randomly. For no other reason, I actually wrote a story on his son when I was covering high school football.
Oh, get out.
But yeah, way back when. That's a very interesting aim. I know he wants to get back in, but I haven't heard of any NFL teams that have been realistically entertaining him as a general manager. It is pretty crazy when you talk about a guy with literally two Super Bowls on his resume that got fired by the Giants and was pretty much like, okay, well, you're never going to work in the league again. Like yeah. Very odd. So I wouldn't, that's an interesting one. That's a really, really interesting one.
And it's interesting because I don't think that the Giants, you know, like blacklisted him type of thing. He was at the Giant 100 thing a couple of weeks
right,
ago.
Yeah. Right.
And I saw him. So it's not like he has a bad relationship with them. They just fired him as a general manager. The fact that he hasn't gotten another job after winning two Super Bowls, which is something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not wild. A lot of people can say.
It's peculiar, to say the least.
It is very peculiar.
And he wasn't a bad guy either. Like, no, it wasn't like they were off field problem, like off out of the building issues or anything like that. He's always a good guy. Stand up, dude.
Yeah. Do you think, look, they're 3-8. I still care, I guess, as a Jet fan. Like, I'm going to watch every Sunday, and like an idiot, I'm going to hope they win. I'm not thinking about tanking. Do you think there's going to be issues in this room? Not that they had close relationships with Joe Douglas, but they see their coach fired. They see their GM fired. They know they're 3-8. Like, do you get the sense that things are actually going to get worse?
No, I don't think they can. I think they'll just remain status quo. Like, the thing, Evan, and I've talked to a couple of players in there, and I've talked to just coaches that are in there, and just to gauge the interest of the vibe, specifically after that Cardinals game, because usually when you get your butt handed to you like that, that's when you have guys start to split. You have the offense hates the defense hates the offense. There's fractions of the offense that don't get along, fractions of the defense that gets along. It just becomes a disaster after games like that to drop to 3-7. The vibe that I got was almost checked out, that it was just like,
yeah,
we're done. It's the season's over. There was all this hype. We're losing again. What that, like, just a checked out, just, I'm not saying the golf bags are in the locker already, but
how can it, like, not, how can it be anything other than that, Connor? I mean, your
correct.
Coach is fired, your general manager's fired.
Exactly.
You've lost 5 of 6 games. It's just like
3% chance of the playoffs. They're kind of tired of hearing the quarterback's message. And it's just like, all right, we just lost to the Colts. Okay, 7 left. All right, we just lost to, okay, 6 left. Like, they're still going to go out there and play because they're still prideful players, but it's very much 53 guys playing as 53 guys, not 53 playing as one. I mean, it's just, it's a checked out group that's just, they're just done. They're just done.
Fantastic. All right, I'm going to write this down. I'm even going to save the audio. Because sometimes Tiki and I like to make long-term predictions. In fact, a few weeks ago, we predicted the 2028 nominees for president. So we love long-term predictions. That's a real long one. As we sit here today, November 19th, 3:05 p.m., tell me the next general manager and head coach of the New York Jets.
GM, I got to look up the names again. GM, I think you're going to see them pluck from somebody that's from an organization that you like. Like, I don't think it's going to be somebody who's necessarily done it before, but I also think they're going to go out there and they're going to hire a director of football operations, and he's going to pick the GM, and I think you'll see someone come over from Minnesota. I think you can see someone come over from, not necessarily Green Bay, but a Kansas City or Detroit somewhere. It's going to be one of those things. The coach that I do believe is going to get a lot of consideration, and I could see him getting the job if he doesn't go to New Orleans, is Aaron Glenn. I think he hasn't done it before. He's not the offensive mind, but he's somebody who I think would take the job. I think he would excite the fan base. I think he would excite ownership. And a lot of people around the league really value him.
Very well respected, too, up there Especially after some years of they had some struggle defensively, and then he got it right, and now they're balling. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's look, he played for the Jets, so we liked him as a player. And with first time head coaches, it's tough to ever get mad because you just never know. Like, I could be the next great head coach of all time. I think as a fan, like, I'm hoping for someone that's done it before. But I think you're right that the overall reaction to an Aaron Glenn hire will be met with hope and optimism.
Yeah.
And
would you see Kaz's prediction? You see Brian Kaz out there? I saw that one. He lit Twitter on fire.
Yeah, I saw it. I know what Kaz is doing.
What did he say?
Yeah. He said Matt Nagy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Because Kaz is trying to piss us all off. Right. That's what he does. Yeah.
Well, why? Well, if you know he's pissing you off, then why do you respond to him?
I didn't. It was Connor brought it up. I was just responding in kind. I try to.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a great one. All right. My endorsement is Brian Flores. I even convinced Benigno.
I do like that a lot. I like that one a lot.
Right,
I think he's a I wouldn't like him a lot with a young quarterback, maybe necessarily anymore. But I like him. I like him a lot. He's one of those where the guy's got a culture with him. You know what I mean? And no nonsense, no BS.
Connor,
the
only thing is, some young quarterbacks they don't mind that.
Mm.
No, right? Correct.
A lot of Tua obviously did, but some guys like getting coached hard.
But you know what else? Because that's going to be like the big thing that follows him. The offense wasn't good. Miami was tough on Tua. I think that sometimes when a coach fails in his first stop, and I don't even think Brian Flores was that big of a failure. Like, I thought he was pretty good in Miami, but okay, fine. Want to call him a failure is a failure. Guys then get reflective. They're out of the league. They join other staffs like Brian has in Pittsburgh, now in Minnesota, and they learn from their mistakes. And so my expectation would be in his next head coaching job, he's going to surround himself maybe with a stronger offensive mind that he's going to trust. I think the problem is when you have a guy like Adam Gase, who gets fired and then immediately gets another job, they don't have the time to reflect and learn from where they screwed up. Right. And I think that's one of the big differences between a guy like Gase and a guy like Flores, who I'm going to assume humbled himself to know, okay, I got to learn from what went wrong in Miami, and that's where I think he'd be a lot better in his second stop as a head coach.
I agree. I like that one a lot. I think I'd be, and again, he's a culture guy too. Like the only thing I'm always timid with is the defensive-minded guy, because if you have the offensive-minded guy, you at least bring with him it's the same scheme year in and year out, even if the play caller changes. But Flores is one where I think he could be what the Jets need right now. Him or Glenn, I think, would be really, really good hires for this team.
Very solid choices. Connor, we appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Connor.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Connor Hughes of SNY. He was the first on this breaking news story that Joe Douglas is out as the general manager of the New York Jets.
By the way, Mike Greenberg just sent me a note.
Which Mike Greenberg, the ESPN one or the guy I endorsed from Tampa?
The guy you endorsed.
What'd he say?
Sending the recording. He said, just so you know, it would be a package deal and Rondé's coming with me.
Wait, he said that?
Yes.
I got to think about this. No, I'm just kidding. Very nice. Your call's next on a very eventful and sad day in New York Jet history. They continue to be an embarrassment. Plus, Jet fans, you may not want to do this, especially with a giant legend like Tiki, but you owe him an apology.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.